Richard Hickerson was 79 years old, dying of cancer with a lesion the size of a tennis ball that was slowly taking over his liver. Dick, as everyone called him, had been a garrulous man. Generously overweight and given to wisecracks and Hawaiian shirts, he'd spent almost his entire life in and around Los Angeles, with the exception of the 4 years as a Navy cook after World War II and the 2 years he worked in Arizona when his children were young. Dick had lived a good life, retiring at age 67 from a career at the local water department. But now it was coming to an end. His doctors prescribed painkillers to make his chemotherapy easier, but it wasn't enough. He drank, hiding spent vodka bottles around the house so that his children wouldn't see them. His 77-year-old wife, Patricia, was also sick, 3 years into the downward spiral of Alzheimer's disease. A former executive at a company that printed personal and business checks, she had lost the ability to comprehend simple financial transactions, such as making change or paying bills. On her worst days, Patricia experienced hallucinations. "Please, please, you have to come get me," she said during a call home to her eldest daughter, Sandy Jolly, after she was hospitalized for knee replacement surgery. "They have locked me in the basement with little children who are screaming." When Patricia returned home from the hospital, she was docile, submissive, childlike. She stopped tending to the rose bushes she'd planted alongside the row of fruit trees in their backyard. She'd enjoyed computer games such as solitaire, but stopped playing them because she could no longer do the math required to play cards. The dementia was hard for Sandy to take. A fiercely independent woman with straight black hair and intense brown eyes, Sandy had, at age 53, moved back home to take care of her parents. She loved them, but the role did not come naturally. Sandy had left home at 19 for an ill-fated marriage to an airline pilot, divorced, and then raised their daughter Kristen as a single mother, spending much of the 1980s selling computer hardware up and down the West Coast. She was driven, the sort of woman who has an opinion about everything, a trait she tried to balance by rigorously practicing meditation and yoga. Now with Kristen grown, Sandy did her parents' shopping, paid their bills, and did their laundry, all while working as an event planner for an organization that sponsored networking luncheons for professional women at hotels and conference centers in downtown Los Angeles and Beverly Hills. However, her job allowed her to work from home much of the time. Enfeebled by their illnesses, the Hickersons did what a lot of old people do as the end nears. They watched TV in the living room for hours. Dick would sit in his favorite chair with his golden retriever Travis in his lap, Patricia on the sofa. Dick usually picked the station. He loved reruns of The Rockford Files, a 1970s NBC drama starring James Garner as fast-talking Southern California private detective Jim Rockford, who deployed wordplay more frequently than his unpermitted Colt revolver. Another favorite was Heart to Heart, an early 80s ABC crime show starring Robert Wagner and Stephanie Powers as a wealthy couple who often find themselves working as amateur detectives. Dick Hickerson grew up in a solidly middle-class family. His father, Percy, owned a small tool and die factory. But according to census records, Percy rented the family home, a stucco, single-story, Spanish-style bungalow in West Los Angeles, where he and his homemaker wife, Ella, raised Richard and his older brother, William. Homeownership came by way of the GI Bill. When Dick returned home from the Navy in 1954, at the age of 27, he and his new wife, Patricia, used a loan backed by the Veterans Administration to buy their first home, a single-story bungalow in the far western reaches of the still-rural San Fernando Valley. As their family grew and the equity in their house grew along with it, they got another VA loan to buy a slightly larger home in the horse pasture suburb of Chatsworth. Finally, in 1980, they used a fixed-rate VA loan to buy the two-story home in neighboring Thousand Oaks, where they would live for more than 20 years. The house lacked a swimming pool, but was otherwise the very definition of the suburban Southern California domicile many Americans dream of. It was simple but spacious, painted white with decorative black shutters. There was a lemon tree, a hydrangea bush, and a wooden bench on the front lawn, and a two-car garage where Dick installed a workbench and they parked a late-model Oldsmobile sedan. They lived on Benson Way, a side street just north of Highway 101, slightly up a hill. From their second-floor bedroom in the back,